before we look at God's word, let's speak to him in prayer again, asking for him to bless us, not only to open our minds, but to open our hearts to receive his word by his grace. So let's pray. Lord and God, you are not the God who is silent, but you have spoken. You have spoken to us in your word, even as you spoke to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we need your word. We need your light. We need Jesus, the living water. We need Jesus to be our rest, for we are darkened and thirsty and weary and sinful people. And so, Lord, we pray, open us that we may take in your word and that we may, through your word, know you and the Son, the Lord Jesus. And so we pray that we may rest in him and find water and life and light in him through your word tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You will find a summary of my notes in your sheet. And also, just keep open before you the passage that Ben read out a few moments ago, because I'll be asking you to look at that as we consider it. Now, many of you were here last month when we looked at an earlier part of the book of Mark. In that story that we looked at a month ago, we saw a man that was paralyzed. A man that could not walk, could not move without the help of his friends. And his friends brought him to Jesus. And his friends were so determined to bring him to Jesus that when they could not get through the crowd, they opened a hole in the roof so they could lower him down before Jesus. And everyone was amazed to see them lower their friend down. But do you remember what Jesus did? What did Jesus do for that man? Well, Jesus did a very powerful thing. He forgave that man's sins. All the wrong things he had done. He said, they're forgiven. They're wiped away. God remembers them no more. They're gone. How could he do that? How can Jesus do that? He showed he could do that. Because what was the next thing he did? He made that man walk. That man, when Jesus spoke the word, took up his bed, stood up, and walked out of that room. Jesus has power. And he showed he can forgive that man's sins and forgive your sins. And what was the picture that he could do that? He made a paralyzed man walk. How powerful. What power Jesus has. And you see, at the start of the passage that we read tonight, lots of people saw that. Lots of people wanted to be with Jesus. He went back to the Lake of Galilee, and a large crowd, great numbers of people came to him, and he taught them. But you can think, If you knew that a man that had never walked in his life now was walking because of Jesus' words, you would be waiting to see what Jesus would do next. This powerful Jesus, what is he going to do? Well, we're going to see that tonight. What is this powerful Jesus going to do? Is he going to do something that everybody is going to love? Is he going to do something that everybody is going to agree with? Is he going to do something that everyone will like? Well, let's see. But there is one thing that you will see about Jesus, the powerful man, tonight. And that is that when he is powerful, he shows mercy. He shows mercy. And that's the first thing we need to talk about tonight. As it says there in your notes there, number one, Jesus shows mercy. So here you see this big crowd at the shore of Lake Galilee. What is Jesus going to do next? Well, what do we see? Verse 14, Jesus was walking along and he saw Levi. Levi was the son of Alphaeus. His job was to take money on behalf of the government. He was sitting in his office. "Come with me," Jesus said to him. Levi stood up and he went with Jesus. Jesus goes past everyone else and he comes to Levi. And he shows mercy to him. What do I mean by this word mercy? Mercy is when you reach out to someone who doesn't deserve it. Mercy is when someone does wrong to you, and instead of you attacking them, you show love to them. You forgive them. Mercy is loving your enemy, not hating them. Mercy is forgiving a debt against you, not demanding it. Mercy is healing and not hurting. So why do I say he showed mercy here? Why mercy? Well, look at this man Levi. What was his job? He took money for the government. Now, we have to understand something here. I have good friends who are accountants. I know people who work at the tax office. And in our society, that is not a bad thing. Well, unless we have too many taxes to pay. But it is a respectable job. It is a good job. But that is because we live in a free country. When we pay money to the government, it is our government. We get to vote to put in our government. They have to tell us where the money goes. They don't always tell us very well, and we don't always like what they do with the money, but it is our government. That is not what it was like for the Jews of Jesus' day. Their government was not their government. Their government was the government of Rome. the greatest empire of ancient history. And the Romans, by force of arms, by the sword, by the spear, they ruled the Jews. And they could be cruel. And they could be harsh. And they demanded their money. And who did they get to collect their money? They got fellow Jews. So there you are a Jew. You are living under another government. And here is another Jew who is working for them. Here is a Jew who is working for the enemy. What does he deserve? Why be nice to him? And as he works for the enemy, he makes a bit of money for himself. A bit of money to put in his own pocket as he collects money for Rome. This was the man that Jesus spoke to. Most people around Jesus would have seen this man as an enemy to his people. But it was to Levi, a friend of the Romans, hated by his own people, the Jews, that Jesus spoke to. So what did he say to Levi? What would you have said if you were a Jew living then to Levi? Would you have said, "You are a bad person, Levi. You are an enemy." Is that what Jesus said? No, he said, "Come with me. Come with me." And when he said, "Come with me," Jesus was saying, "Come and follow me. Come and live with me. Come and hear me. Come believe in me." That's what Jesus said. That's what he meant when he said, "Come with me." See, what is Jesus doing here? Is he coming just to teach you or to teach the people how to be a better people? Is that all he is doing? No. Jesus did not come just to teach you how you can be a better person. Jesus came to save people who they thought themselves they weren't worth saving. He came to show mercy. But remember, when Jesus shows mercy, he is a man of power. Because what happened? Look at the story. "Come with me," Jesus said to him. Here's a man that Levi had never met. There is Levi in his office doing his work. Jesus comes in and says, "Come with me." And what does Levi do? "I don't know you. I'm not following you." Is that what he says? No. He gets up, walks out, and follows Jesus. Jesus has power. See, Jesus says to him, "Come with me," and what does Levi do? He comes. Jesus commands him, and he comes. Jesus chose, out of all of the people there that day, Jesus chose Levi. And Levi had to follow. See there? There's power and there's mercy together in Jesus' words. So the second thing we see tonight then is Levi loves Jesus' mercy. Look at the next verse there. Verse 15. "Then Jesus went to eat a meal at Levi's house. Many people followed Jesus and they ate there with him and with his disciples. Some of these people also took money on behalf of the government. Some of the people had done many wrong things. So what did Levi think of what Jesus said? Yes, he followed Jesus, but what did he think of it? Well, we see, don't we? He holds a big meal. Why do you have a big meal with many people coming? Just after an ordinary day's work, is that why you have a big meal? Because you've just got your gas bill or electricity bill, is that why you have a big meal and invite all your friends? When you've lost something, is that when you have a big meal and invite all your friends? You have a big meal with all your friends when you want to celebrate something. A birthday. The birth of a child. Something good. A wedding. Maybe your son or daughter or yourself have graduated from university. You have a big meal. You invite your friends. You celebrate. So how does Levi show how happy he is? He celebrates. Because this is a new beginning for Levi. Jesus has said, yes, you are an enemy of God, of our people, but I'm saying, come with me. I'm making you my friend. You are a new man. A new person. Levi knew now he was a new person. He celebrates. This is the greatest day of his life. And what does he do as he celebrates? He invites all his friends. People who are just like him. So think about that. He knew that people didn't like him. But now Jesus has made him his friend. So does Levi think now that he is better than all his old friends, all the people that he used to live with? Does he think he is better than them? No. He wants them all to come. He wants them all to come to his house so that they can meet Jesus too. He wants them to meet him too. And some of these people were tax collectors like he was, hated by the rest of the nation. Others were people who had done wrong things. Well, some of them were just people who did not fit in with the Jewish religious rules of that day. Maybe they were too poor. Maybe they were too uneducated to understand them all. Maybe they were too ashamed to mix with other Jews. But when Levi invited them, he invited them all to come. And they all sat down. And Jesus was with them. And what did Jesus do? Did he keep apart from them? Did he keep himself away from them? No. He ate with them. He talked with them. And they heard him. Jesus was thankful for the mercy that God had shown him. He wanted to celebrate it. He wanted to share it with others. And if you know the grace of Jesus yourself, that's what comes next. You want to share it. Not just in speech, not just in words, but in your life, in your home, in your family. You share because you are grateful. It flows out. So that then leads us to this third point. You see there in your notes there. Are you ready for the mercy of Jesus? Are you ready? So why am I asking you this? Why am I saying, are you ready? Well, if you go to the story that we read out, you can see that not everyone was ready. Not everyone was ready to hear about the mercy of Jesus. There were other people at that meal. Not just Jesus, not just Levi, not just Levi's friends, but other people. These were religious people, and that's good. These were respectable people, and that's good. They were people that others looked up to, people that others thought were good Jewish religious people. They were people who taught God's laws. But they did not like it when they saw that Jesus sat and ate and talked with people that they thought were below them, people that they thought were sinners, wrongdoers. And you'd think to yourself, why? Why don't you want them to join you in following God? Why were they unhappy? Well, I think you can break it down to this great point, this great truth, and that is, these people trusted not in what God would give them, but in what they could do for God. They trusted in what they could do, in their own law keeping, in their own knowledge, in their own good works. They trusted in those things. And if you are trusting in the things that you can do, you are not looking out for the mercy that God offers to you. Because you are looking so much at what you are able to do, at what you are able to achieve, and what you are able to build up to show God that you are a good person. And so they thought that if you followed what they said, that you were worthy of God. And if you did not, if you were refused to do what they said, you were not worthy to get anything from God. They were performers, not receivers. Now, what happens when you become one of them? Well, you are so concerned about doing it all right yourself that other people who don't do what you do, they become a threat. You shut them out. You don't want to accept them because you have to believe that you are better and that you are doing the right thing. And so they thought that Jesus should be like them. You see, they basically thought that Jesus was like them, that all he was about was teaching people how they could become better people, teaching people how they could please God. Now, I think we would look on those old teachers that got angry at Jesus and say, we don't want to be like them. They're such dull and they're so legalistic. They're always making lots of rules and trying to keep to them. We don't like to be like them. We're not like them. We're free and happy. We are tolerant people. We seek to be kind and good to everyone. We're not like them, but we are like them. Every one of us, by nature, we're just like them. We're trying to be good ourselves, and we want Jesus to be the one who helps us. Just like we might go, if we don't know what to do with our money, we might go to a financial advisor to help us. If we don't know what to do with our health, we might go and talk to someone who would know about it to help us. But it's we who do it. We're just getting some help. Just like we might go to a bookshop and get all sorts of books on how to help ourselves and make our lives better. We may not be as disagreeable as these old teachers were, but we're doing the same thing. And you see what a low view of Jesus that they had. Jesus is just a teacher like us. Jesus is just a helpful hint giver like us. Jesus is just a performer like us. And so that's why he better be careful. He better not mix with those people because he might go down. He's got to keep to the straight and narrow because he's got to perform just like us. He better not talk to those bad people over there. But Jesus is not a teacher just. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a performer. He had come to heal. He had come to save with mercy and power. Who do you think Jesus is? Do you think he's just another guide to help you through life? Just someone to give you some good tips? Or do you see him as your healer, your savior? Well, that all depends on how you look at yourself. Who do you think you are? Look at how Jesus answers these teachers. When Jesus heard what the teachers of God's rules said, he said, "People who are well don't need a doctor. People who are ill need a doctor. I did not come to help good people. I came to help bad people." It's quite a funny answer away, isn't it? Was he saying that they were good people and so they didn't need him? Of course not. He wasn't saying that at all. He knew that they were just as bad as anyone else. What he was really saying was they were so blind to who they really were that they didn't see who he was and didn't really see their need of him. If you need a doctor, not just a teacher, that means that you are sick and not well. You have a big problem. I have a big problem. We are bad people. We are sick people, not just in our bodies, but before God. We are sick people. Not just Levi, not just Levi's friends, but the teachers of the law themselves. And they didn't want to see this. What about you? Are you a Levi? Are you someone who knows that you are sick and bad before God? Or are you a teacher of the law who thinks that you are right before God? If you are a Levi, you know that you need more than a teacher. You need a doctor. You need a healer. You need a savior. You don't just need someone to give you some good ideas. You need someone to give you life because you don't have it. You're dead. You need a life giver. You need a doctor. If you are a teacher of the law, then all you think you need is a teacher. Because you think you're basically a good person. Just need a few hints along the way. You won't then look for Jesus. If you just want a teacher, you'll find plenty of good teachers out there. You won't look for Jesus, even though you need him just as much as the others. But do you know that you are sick? Do you know that you are dead before God? How do you think it will be to go to God as you are and stand before him and be judged by him for all the things that you have done? If you think about that and what that means, then you will know that you need a healer. You need a doctor. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Well, let's pray together before we close. Lord and God, we thank you that you have sent your healer, your Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that we would all know that we need him and we need to trust him and to follow him and hear him and believe in him. So keep us and give us this knowledge and give us faith to believe in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.